on the recorder. There we go.
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much. So I'm Lori P. from New York, and I am going to share with you today about four-step resentment inventory and the power of Big Book Awakening and the experience that I had. I am a compulsive overeater. I've been one most of my entire life. I may have come out of the womb a compulsive overeater, but surely by the time I was 8 years old, it was manifesting as a problem in my life. And that was when my mom first took me to Weight Watchers. And at that point, a war would start in me, within me and with my body, that I would just fight my entire life. I wouldn't know life any different except to have this battle going on within about how to have acceptance and how to grow up in this big, crazy Irish Catholic family that ran a restaurant. That's what we did. And so food was everywhere. There were no boundaries. I didn't learn how to have three square meals a day or anything like that. It was just every emotion revolved around food, and so did my life. And food would tell me whether I was good or bad, and the scale became my higher power. The size of my pants became my higher power. And the truth was, I had absolutely no power from a really young age, maybe as young as 8, but certainly, you know, by the time I was in middle school and high school, and by the time I got to college, that was when I learned how to purge, binge and purge. And I would use that as a weapon to try to control what was becoming a really vicious disease. And I would fight the same 40 or 50 pounds my entire life, and all of my self-worth was dependent upon where I was in the scale of those 40 or 50 pounds. And it would determine almost everything about who I was as a human being, whether I was good or bad. And in order to compensate, I would need to really overdo other parts of my life, overwork, overachieve, be the good girl, be the one to keep my family together, be the one to keep peace. And I thought that that was just my role until it became so exhausting that I was on the verge of you know, a major collapse. So as it would be, as my story would go, I would find my way to the rooms. I had gone through a divorce. I was raising two little boys by myself, and at the request of a therapist, found my way to Al-Anon. I had married somebody with some addictions, and Al-Anon was a tremendous help. You know, I had a lot of the he's, he was the problem, he did this, he did that. And I learned in Al-Anon that I needed to put the focus on myself and take responsibility for my own life. And that was new to me. That was like a whoo, big aha. And so in Al-Anon, I was doing a fifth step, and a lot of my resentments came up, and they were food related. And the sponsor I was working with at the time had the courage to say to me, listen, if somebody was saying this to me about alcohol, I would send them to AA. I really think perhaps you should try Overeaters Anonymous. And I did for about 7 years. I would go to OA, but I would still struggle with the food. I had become a critical level compulsive overeater, and I just couldn't be told to just put down the food or not eat your trigger foods and somehow it would magically just work and appear. I was not that sort of overeater. I had gotten to the point where I was not only binging and purging, I was using diet pills, I was sneaking food. I was one of those that would pull food out of a trash can. I would eat it frozen. I would eat it hot. I would burn my tongue. I would think about food all day long. I'd go buy it. I'd prepare it. Then I'd regret it. Then I'd purge it. It was like consuming my whole life. So after about 7 years in OA, I made my way to a Big Book study, which was helpful. And then about a year later, I found a program within Overeaters Anonymous called OA How that's very disciplined and very structured and requires a food plan and daily interaction with a sponsor. And for me, that's worked. And I've been working that for the last 5 years and have found freedom by working the program that way. And I've lost 55 pounds. And with the food in its place and neutrality around it, what appeared was all the reasons I ate. And so you would think, oh, look, I got the food down. I'm good. I'm done. But that's not what happens. So now what I was left with was all of those fears, all of those resentments, all of those, you know, issues I've been running from, all of those reasons why I thought I had to be the good girl or the overachiever or the workaholic or the best this or the best that. And so I had done many four steps. And then I was facing a situation that I had the wherewithal to know was a deep challenge. I was being let go from a large corporate job that my ego was very attached to. I'd become a vice president for a large company. I managed a large team, was incredibly responsible for lots of things, and my ego just loved it. And I was parting ways with that job and choosing not to go find another job because my son had struggled so much during the pandemic, my youngest son. He was 17 at the time and had really found himself in a bit of a depression. And I felt like I had 1 year, his senior year, to really show up and be a mom. And I had been a full-time working mom, like my children's whole life. And so this was a gift, but I knew that I needed a spiritual experience to help me get through this. Like I needed to be connected to God in a way that I hadn't been connected to God. As deep as my connection had grown through this 5 years of recovery, like I had the wherewithal to know that what I was about to go through required a whole new spiritual experience. And so I had fellows in my program who had done Big Book Awakening. And they had said, it's really like nothing you've ever gone through. And I knew of a fellow who had talked about it and gone through it. And so I picked up the phone one day and called her. And she was lovely and gracious. And she said, I know somebody who can take you through the steps. And that introduction was, I mean, life-changing. This whole next year would literally change my life. So the BBA sponsor has me pause for 3 days and think about why I want to do this. Well, I have to tell you, I was just blown away by that because I'm just ready to jump in both feet and I'm ready to get going and get started. And how can I fix myself? And how can I get ready for this big challenge? And she's like, you need to pause and think about it for the next 3 days. And I want you to write on these three questions. And one of them being, would I carry the message? And so I did that and I thought about it for the next 3 days. And it really solidified my commitment to work this program. Because let me tell you, there are moments when working BBA got so uncomfortable. And I'm specifically using the word uncomfortable and not hard, that my skin crawled. Like I was like, oh my gosh, like thank goodness she made me think about it for 3 days and I was all in, because right now I would love to like hit the parachute and jump out of the plane right now. Cause it got hard and got really uncomfortable. So I was all in, and it was interesting because I did okay on the first step. Which powerlessness, I can't believe I did okay on the first step. But by step two, I was really uncomfortable. And then by step three, when we need to read in the I statement, the third step, to another human being for an entire week, every single day, that you know, that part in the BBA, in the big book. I had it down to 7 minutes. Maybe some of you do it faster, maybe some of you take longer, but it was about 7 minutes for me every single day. And by the end of that, I was transformed. Because going into it, that was just, you know, a couple of old white guys back in 1935 who were alcoholics and I wasn't. And so it really didn't pertain to me. But after that experience, oh my good Lord, I was everything that they said. Every single thing. I was run on self-propulsion. I was the actor. I was the director. I mean, I was a seeker of, you know, confusion and harmony. Like I was getting it all wrong. Like all of it. I was doing all of it. And so it became so deeply personal. And the experience of that is what led me into my fourth step. And I went into the fourth step pretty vulnerable, pretty raw, pretty exposed, but open and willing to set aside everything I think I knew for a new experience. And the Big Book Awakening process kept encouraging me to use this set aside prayer. And you know, my sponsor kept encouraging me to use this set aside prayer. And that was new for me. You know, when you're a type A personality and you're running a big company and running millions of dollars, like you don't really stop to say, let me set aside everything I think I know. You're like, I know everything. Let's go. Let's get this done. So the set aside prayer was brilliant and gentle and kind. And it gave possibility where I didn't really know possibility existed. So as I did my four step, let me back up just a second. I had to come to terms with who my higher power was going to be. I think many of us go on this journey as we join a 12-step program. I'd grown up in a religion with lots of judgment and hell and damnation. And I couldn't have that as my higher power in this 12-step program. And so a lot of work went into who would be my higher power. And what I came up with was that I needed a power greater than me that was love and grace, that was going to have compassion for me so that I could somehow find some compassion for myself. And that was a whole new way of thinking. And if I could have it for myself, then I could have it for others. And it would be like this trickle-down effect, right? God to me to myself, me to others. And it would be this ripple effect. And it was very profound. And it took away the fear of going to hell or the fear of people I love going to hell. And it allowed me to breathe a little bit more and feel a little bit more at ease with living and being human and maybe making mistakes and figuring out how to make amends for those. And so that coupled with the third step experience and what I was learning in Big Book Awakening and set aside prayer, I went into this fourth step very open-minded, but also very open-hearted to really see what is it that I can't see? You know, these resentments are harming me. You know, I have an ex-husband that keeps showing up on every single resentment inventory. Well, what's the common denominator? Me. I have a dad that keeps showing up. I lost my mom 10 years ago, and my dad and I were really close when my mom was alive. And then he didn't follow my script. In the face of, you know, death and grieving, you know, he lost his wife of 42 years and he didn't quite act the way I thought he should. How dare he? And so he's showing up now multiple times on my resentment inventory. And the woman he married shortly after my mother died, well, she's there too. And you know, then there were a couple other usual suspects. And so again, the common denominator is me. So what could I do differently in this inventory? What was I to learn? What was I to see that would perhaps not give these people so much power, not give the resentment so much power. And there are a few things that would happen. One, when I would go to do the fifth step, we would invite God. There would be a chair for God. And that would be incredibly powerful. Because without a place for God, a power greater than me, whatever you refer to your higher power as.
5 minutes left, Lori.
10.
5 minutes left.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Without a place for God, it's just still me running the show. I'm just still the director. I'm still the one trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, and hoping it'll come off. So the simple act of creating that space in time for a higher power to show up was not only visual for me, but also incredibly profound. The second thing was the realization that writing out a realization. I've often done what I'm so resentful at. And there was a lot of humility in that. You know, one of my character defects is superiority. You know, I can go from like, I'm really hot stuff to I'm like not so hot at all. It's the extreme ends of one pendulum. And being right sized, I don't know, that's not all that fun. And so I'm not always right there, right sized, right in the middle. But that's humility today. And so the realization exercise in the BBA process really challenged me to see, where have I done exactly this? And if not exactly this, what was my motive? What was the motive why I wouldn't have done exactly this? Because chances are that too is tied up in one of my character defects, like superiority. And so incredibly powerful to walk through that, especially when I was working on a resentment like an ex-husband, because, you know, my ego always wants to think that I'm better than, and blah, blah, blah. And then the third thing was the realization that if I had had the power to do it any differently, I would have. But I didn't. And so the connection between step one and step four and how intertwined they are, and quite frankly, how intertwined all the steps are back to step one, and truly how powerless I am. It was soothing. It was forgiving. It was disarming to keep getting that message. If I had had the power to do it any differently, I would have, but I didn't. And so I couldn't do it any differently. I did it exactly as I knew how to do at the time, with the resources and the emotions and the fears and all that I had at the time. And back to loving grace, there was some grace in that. There was some self-forgiveness in that. There was some disarming of the whole big story around all of it. And that was an experience I had never had before. No matter how many times I had done the steps, I hadn't had that part of the experience. And I could see my part, and I could see my fears, and I could see where my ego keeps showing up, and how I want to be right, and how I want to tell the story my way, and I want to get people on my side, and, you know, all of those sorts of things that as humans we tend to do. But that doesn't get me closer to God, and it doesn't get me closer to my fellows, and it certainly doesn't give me a relationship with some of the people that I really want a relationship with. And so, you know, just as I wrap it up here, the BBA four step was profoundly impactful on me. It gave me a whole new way of looking at things. It gave me forgiveness, not only as I would get to my eighth and ninth step, but for myself along the way and in the process. And it gave me a framework to keep coming back to. This idea that if I had the power to do it any differently, I would have, because that applies to so many things. And that's the reason to keep reaching out and to have that daily connection to a power greater than me. You know, the importance of that daily reprieve. Without that, I'm just going to go back to, you know, all those fears, all those resentments that just keep me stuck in selfishness and self-centeredness, self-pity. And then the food's just going to be one step up. I'll wake up one day and be face down in my substance and wonder how I got there. But that's how I've gotten there. And so I couldn't be more grateful for the people who show up and do this work every day, who give of themselves so selfishly. My sponsor is a gem and just a beautiful human being. And this process, Dan Sherman, how he developed this has been a gift. And I've been deeply touched. I've also stuck to my promise. I've carried the message. I did as I committed, and so gratefully. So I think that's it. And with that, I'll pass.